ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं तन्नवगणं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ ఫైవ్ హండ్రెడ్ అండ్ ట్వంటీయత్ నామ అంతః, వన్ హూ బ్రింగ్స్ అబౌట్ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్. అంత మీన్స్ ది ఎండ్. సో అంతః వన్ హూ బ్రింగ్స్ అబౌట్ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్, దట్ ఇస్ సో దిస్ కెన్ బి టేకెన్ యాజ్ రెఫరింగ్ టు టైమ్. యాజ్ టైమ్, లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఇస్ ద వన్ హూ బ్రింగ్స్ కాన్స్టెంట్ చేంజెస్. So in philosophical terms, birth means, death means change. So everything is in a constant flux of change. Brahman is the substratum which is changeless entity. So the entire universe, the waking, dream, deep sleep state, everything that has come from a changeless entity goes through this changes. So one who brings about the constant changes in this world, that is the meaning of this term antakaha. Without these changes, there would be no evolution possible. In the process of morning changing into noon, noon changing into evening, evening changing into night, night changing into morning again, a day is maintained. So the entire maintenance of this universe is brought about by this change. So therefore, he is the one who brings about the constant changes in this world, without which no evolution of creative development would be ever possible. So antakaha. So, you know, whenever we go through any difficulty, we should understand that that difficulty will also come to an end. That is the main thing we learned in that poem, even this shall pass away. Even good things have to come to an end. So instead of too much getting involved into things and expecting it not to go, we will become balanced in both good and bad. Bad things also will not affect us so much because we understand that that is also temporary and passing. So, Mahavishnu has got his name, Antakaha, one who brings about the end of all beings or end of all experiences. Whether it is good or bad, everything has to end. So why get too much involved in it? Why give too much importance to it? Just give that due importance, deal with it, get away. That is what we learn from this Dhamma. Next shloka. Ajo mahaha swabhavyaha jitamitra pramodanaha anando nandano nandaha satya dharmatri vikramaha. Ajo mahaha swabhavyaha jitamitra pramodanaha anando nandano nandaha సత్య ధర్మాత్రి విక్రమ. అజహ, జస్ట్ నౌ హీ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ అంతకః, వన్ హూ బ్రింగ్స్ అబౌట్ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్. యాజ్ హీస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద డెత్, హీస్ ఇమీడియట్లీ బ్రింగింగ్ ద నెక్స్ట్ నామ విచ్ ఇస్ అజహ. అజహ మీన్స్ అన్బోర్న్. దట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ and something that did not come into existence in time. That's what ajaha means. Something that is not born doesn't die as well. So therefore, ajaha, unborn, is beyond death. So with these two namas, what we understand is, the manifestation has an end. But the reality upon which this manifestation is superimposed has neither a beginning nor an end. So, Brahman, Atman, Vishnu has neither birth nor any death or decay. Something which doesn't die, undying, is eternal, constant, changeless, subtract. So therefore, Ajaha, unborn, Maharhaha, Maharhaha, one who deserves the highest worship. Marha means puja, worship. Maharha, one who is fit for worship. One who is fit for worship, one who deserves the highest worship. See, worship means identification. And when he says, which fits the highest form of worship, if you value something, you can say that you worship it almost. So you value a particular thing so much that you worship it. What is worthy of worship? Something that gives you solace, something that is capable of giving you the strength at all times. So he says, Maharhaha. Not just Arha, Maharha. Means extremely fit for worship. Meaning, if you worship the changing, fleeting phenomenon, it's going to desert you sometimes. But if you worship something that is changeless, it is going to be with you always. So therefore he says, Maharha.
Sorry, Guruji, can you little bit expand? Changeless means? If you worship something that is
permanent, it's going to be always with you. See, if you are worshipping money.
But that will give you sadness as well.
No, it won't. Because you know that sadness is something that will pass away. So sadness cannot affect you. Neither will sadness affect you, nor will joy excite you. You got it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the point is, see, only a person who doesn't, understand the philosophy, or understanding is one thing, the other is one who is not imbibed it, he gets shaken away by joy and sorrow. A person who's digested the philosophy, he will not get uprooted by any of this changes. He may sometimes, to the extent his wisdom is not that deep, sometimes you may be shaken a little bit, but quickly when the knowledge comes in again, you will handle it very well. Like William Wordsworth says, calm pleasures and majestic pain there abides. Meaning, in a person who's got wisdom, he will be calm in pleasures and majestic in pain. That is what is maturity. That is what is the real standard of a human being should be. But that's not what we see everywhere. But if you really have that knowledge, you'll be balanced. So, one who deserves the highest worship. See, what will deserve the highest worship? That which is always with you, protecting you, giving you the strength, is what is the worthy of your time. Worship means time also. Somebody who worships money means he is constantly thinking of money, he's spending all his time for money. Now what has happened? A lot of people have spoken about this. Cinema stars, some of the other celebrities in different walks of life. Even somebody who's making it big in business and all, they spend so much time in the business, they hardly spend time with their children. By the time their children have become 25, 30, and they got married and they've got grandchildren now, and this fellow now has time. Even that time, some people again continue. So they hardly have any time really spending with their children or grandchildren. They've not really lived their life. So you worshipping time, what have you got in return? So nothing in this universe is really fit to be worshipped. The only thing that is fit for worship is Atma, Brahman. This is what Bhaja Govindam is saying. Unfortunately, when the body is healthy, you will not think of Bhagavan. The business is going well, you will not think of Bhagavan. Suddenly, if there is some kind of a indication that your business may not do well, or some sickness in the family, somebody or the other dying, this and that, suddenly you will go to an astrologer. And the astrologer will say, you want to go to this temple for 180 weeks or whatever. Then you will start following all that. The point is, you don't understand that all these things are passing, fleeting phenomena. Therefore, you are worshipping it. You give it due importance. See, in Vedanta, we never say, don't value them. But give it right value. Don't give exaggerated value. So much of importance you attach to your beauty, your health, your wealth, and so many other things in life, relationships. You give that much importance because you're living in this world, you need socializing, so you might have to go to certain weddings and parties, so do all that. But let that not be something that you really worship all the time. So that, so much so that you neglect the truth. That's what he's saying. So maharha means your worshipping of this worldly stuff should not be at the cost of the reality. So Bhaja Govindam says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte, Samihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrinka. At the time of emergency, what is going to come and help you? Nothing. If you are too much worshipping your beauty, it is something that is going to ditch you. It's not going to be all the time retained. Your health, your wealth, your name, fame, power, position, everything. So therefore, he says, these are all passing, fleeting phenomena. They are not really fit for worship. Only thing that is fit for worship is Brahman, Atma, reality. Swabhavyaha. Ever rooted in the nature of his own self. The uncaused cause. Swabhavyaha. Uncaused cause. This entire universe is a cause and effect chain. Everything has a cause and every cause will have an effect. So, a tree has come from the seed. The seed has come from the tree. Cause-effect chain continues. It ends only in Brahman. Brahman is the cause of this universe. But there is nothing causing Brahman. Brahman is something that is always existing. Therefore, the causeless cause. Being eternally perfect, he is naturally without a beginning. A causeless cause. Sva bhavya. Swayambhu. It exists on its own. The existence of Brahman does not depend on anything. World cannot exist without the truth supporting it. Whereas the truth exists without any dependence. Hence it's called as Swabhavya. Jita Mitraha. One who has conquered the inner enemies like attachment, anger, etc. is also external enemies like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, etc. Jita Mitraha. Basically, one who has conquered the enemies within and without. The real enemy is your desire. In Bhagavad Gita very clearly he says, the only enemy you have is your desire. And he calls the desire as Vairinam, Nitya Vairinam, Paripantinam, Shatru. Four words he uses. All four means enemies. So, why do you fall? You fall because of your desire. Desire and its modification. When the desire is fulfilled, you become greedy. When the desire is interrupted, you become angry. When the desired object would be taken away or not, that thought is there, so you become afraid, fear. So, bhaya. Kodha, loba, moha, delusion. Extremely you get deluded by these desires. Kama, krodha, loba, moha, mada, arrogance. You know, you compare yourself with somebody who has less than you, you become arrogant. Somebody who is more than you, you become jealous. Matsarya. All these modifications you must conquer. Jita Mitra. He has conquered all enemies such as desire, hope, etc. So in the Mahabharata and Ramayana, they talk about the avatars conquering the Rakshasas named as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, etc. All these Ravana, Hiranyakashipu are running nothing but your negative tendencies. Your desires are not under your control. When the awareness is not controlling your desires, when you give in to your desires, you become a Ravana. You become a Hiranyakashipu. So therefore, he says, Jita Mitra, conquering one's own desires. So that's why we keep on telling and reminding in the class that in spirituality, you don't come to gain. In spirituality, you come to lose. But in losing those things that needs to be lost, you gain the life. In not losing those things that needs to be lost, on the contrary, you're going on increasing it, thereby you're losing your life. What is that? All this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Vivekananda was asked once, what do you gain coming into spirituality? He said, I can't list out the things I gained, but I can list out the things I lost. He said, I lost the anger, jealousy, greed, fear. All this you lose. Attachment. So, jita mitra. The more and more you reflect on this nama and you start identifying with the truth within, you will not have fear like you find everybody else having. So much of fear. What will happen? What will happen? The insecurity. See, a flower in the garden beautifully swinging in the breeze. It is completely exposed to the heat, powerful wind, rain. It's exposed. Suddenly, strong wind can come. The flower may be disconnected from the plant. Or some passerby may just pluck it away. And yet, no worry, nothing, happily swinging. And you may say, our flower doesn't have brains. That's why Jai Krishnamurti says, what these animals and flowers are going through unconsciously, with brain, with mind, you should go through consciously. Then you are living your life. Otherwise, your whole life is nothing but bhayam, bhayam, bhayam. Every stage there is bhayam. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? You don't become a philosopher simply because you can interpret these shlokas. Thousands of people attend your classes. You are a philosopher when these changes do not affect you. You know that yes, anything can happen anytime. So there is no bhaya. But you are prepared, you plan, you do everything. You are not afraid. Chittamitta. Because of the inner wisdom and awareness. You don't allow the desires and its modifications to rule over. Pramodanaha. Pramodanaha, ever blissful. One is constantly enjoying his own eternal bliss. Ever blissful. I have mentioned this before to you. A newly married couple, they shifted to an apartment complex, you know. Condominium. So, the new neighbors are very inquisitive to see how long they'll remain without any arguments. So, they were very nosy. They just wanted to know what's happening. But every day they were hearing only laughter coming out of their apartment. So, one day they asked, how is it that you are not fighting at all? You both seem to be extremely happy. It is impossible. And it means after a few days, at least a few months, some misunderstandings will come, some arguments will come. In your case, it doesn't seem to be there because you could only hear laughter all the time. So you guys don't fight or what? So they said, no, we in fact fight a lot. From day one, we've been fighting. So then how come you're laughing? They said, see, when we start arguing, we start throwing things at each other. A pencil or a scale or whatever. So, if what we hit hits the other person, he laughs. I laugh. If it hits my wife, I laugh. If it misses, she laughs. So, that's why you're all the time hearing laughter from in our house. So, it is said in a light-hearted way, this has a certain message. In every experience, there is always something to smile. You should never forget to smile. You should never forget to laugh. You will never find Lord Krishna without a smile. One of the greatest lessons we can learn from Sri Krishna. Never, you can never find a picture of Sri Krishna without a smile. Human beings have this capacity to laugh. Somewhere I heard to say that normally a human being, when he was a child or something, he used to laugh like 130 times a day or something. But a grown up adult doesn't even last more than 10 or 20 times. You become so serious. So, Pramodana, ever blissful. You can only be in bliss when you are not handed over yourself to the desire. The desire is nothing wrong per se. Don't get the philosophy wrong. Vedanta doesn't say desire is wrong. Vedanta says you should not allow the desires to rule you. Your intellect should control and direct your desires. But if you come under the sway of your desires, you'll be finished. That's what majority of us do. We come under the sway of the desires. So Pramodanaha, when he says always blissful, how you can be always blissful? See, take the example of this class. Now, we know that in our class we have like 10 or 15 people in total. But never in a class we'll have 10 or 15. Very rare. Always 3, 4, 5, 7, 6, 10, I mean 8, like that. Sometimes it's 3, sometimes it'll be 8, 10. Very rarely 15. If you were attached to the participant, how many people are coming, not coming, this is what is going to give you joy. But you just go to conduct class because you love talking on the subject to whosoever comes to listen, then your bliss is not coming from outside. If you lead a life wherein your bliss depends on some outside factor, that means you are leading a wrong life. Anything that you depend outwardly cannot give you continuous bliss. You got to go within. You say within body, mind, intellect, and finally Atma. So therefore, Pramodanaha, one who is constantly enjoying his own eternal bliss nature. So what does it mean? The nature of Atma is bliss. So one who never moves away from original nature. In fact, when we start becoming more and more self-dependent, we'll be more and more blissful. So from this nama, what we should learn is, we should try to become more and more self-sufficient. When you become more and more self-sufficient, you will not have much occasion to lose your bliss. The more dependent your lifestyle is, very often you will be agitated. So Pramodana, then Ananda. Ananda also means bliss. Constantly in bliss. Ananda is the original nature of every being. So, another nama of Lord Vishnu is Ananda, the joy. Child has no worries of the past, no anxieties of the future. So that's why children, sometimes when they are just fighting with their friends, you know, a few minutes. After that, they have forgotten about. They do not carry anything. There's no luggage that they carry. But in our life, we carry tremendous luggage. Even some people, when they travel, they cannot travel light. You better don't tell them that you are going in the car or something. Then that's it. They'll fill up the car. You'll be lucky if you were given a seat to sit and drive. So much they'll pack. just cannot travel light. So when we do not know how to live, we pick up luggage. When we learn to live, we will travel light. So, ananda. Ananda means bliss. Bliss and desire don't go together. Desire is a condition. Remember that. Your desire can only give you bliss when the desire is fulfilled. Now, that bliss that desire gives you when the desire is fulfilled is also what? Temporary. Why? Because you know that it cannot be in the state of fulfillment always. Nobody may take it away. You cannot retain it for long. It won't give you the same bliss always. So when you rise above your desire, you will be bliss. So ananda means beyond desires. So a man of perfection doesn't live to fulfill desires. He lives, works in this world out of love. Whatever he does because he loves it. This concept of labor. When you see in agriculture, before industrialization, it was all agriculture. Industrialization, because of the machineries, they said, okay, 8 hours. One shift, another shift, 8 hours, like that. Many things came up later. In agriculture field, if you see those people who go to work, they are singing and doing their work. Physical labor, tremendously, too much of physical labor is involved in that. And they are singing and sowing the seeds or whatever they are doing, they are happily doing. So, though they may get a salary in the end, they are not doing it for that. The day you reduce yourself to a laborer, life's joy is gone. And see, we think laborer, for example, if you are running a business, you think there are people working in your factory as a laborer. I'm talking about them. No. Even you may approach your work as a laborer. When you are going there to take something, that means you are dependent. So desire is a bridge. It's something that ties you to the future. The moment you are tied to the future, it's a problem. The condition cannot give you bliss. You may have a goal of becoming a chess player or whatever in future. When you go to learn chess and you're playing chess, play it, enjoy that moment. Then you will be in bliss, ananda. Then nandana. Nandana means one who makes others bliss. Now, one who gives delight, one who makes other person happy. Who can make the other fellow happy? Anybody?
One who is content, one who is satisfied and secure from within, and smiling.
One who is happy. You can only give to others what you have. If you have melancholy, if you have sorrow, you can only give melancholy and sorrow. If you have happiness, you can give happiness. You will have bliss and happiness if you are above desires. So anybody who has conquered the desires, he gives joy to people who contact. Not that he wants to give joy. It's like, You go near a flower, the flower's fragrance is there. That is coming naturally from the flower. Not that the flower is having a desire, whoever comes I have to give, I'm having a desire. It's nature. So when somebody has conquered the desire and ego, they are in joy. So whoever gets to their, I mean whoever gets closer to them, he also gets the joy and happiness. That's all he's saying. Nandanaha, one who gives delight, joy. There's no demands. Children give joy. Small babies. They have no expectations. See, supposing the husband is coming home, let's say the wife is a homemaker, he's coming home from business and she says, you know, oh, you look really tired. You must have really had a tough day today. Supposing she's saying that. Obviously, she's identifying with him out of love. She's seeing that this guy is somewhat tired and she's saying that. And let's say this fellow also has love for her. In spite of his tiredness, he'll be seeing from her point of view. So he'll say, oh yeah, okay, maybe I was busy in the office and I'm tired, but what about you? You're also, you know, doing a lot of things at home. You must also be tired. Then he's not looking at it from his angle. In this kind of a relationship, automatically you will see that both of them are really happy. But supposing when she's saying like that, he says, oh yeah, I'm too tired. Can you make a cup of coffee? She'll make it. But the point is, you're not seeing from the other person's angle. So when you start living like that, you cannot give joy to others. Neither will you be happy. Somebody who is all the time thinking only from their point of view, they can never be happy. They cannot give happiness also. Temporarily when they are getting profit or certain things, temporarily they feel they are happy. They are not. And their mind is constantly, for example, bargaining, you know. Just 1 minute, huh? Somebody is ringing the bell. Sorry. So a selfish person who only constantly looks at it from their point of view, they are going to exploit somebody else or constantly exploiting somebody else. So they have this inner fear that they can also be, they will also be exploited at any point of time. So that's why they are constant, what do you call, fear. Lizard is constantly killing and eating and surviving. See, it is terrified all the time. Because the fact that lizard is surviving by destroying, the lizard is also worried about one's own destruction. That's why we say, a person who is a giver, one who meets life out of love, not out of lust, they will be always blissful and they can give bliss to others. others cannot. So Nandana, one who gives delight. Nandaka, one endowed with all perfection. Self-realized soul. One who is freed from all limited worldly pleasures. Worldly pleasures you get through contacts with the objects of the senses. So one who is not dependent on the delights that come from the contacts of the senses. So Nandaha means free, mentally free. A self-realized soul will also have personal likes and dislikes. So the difference between you, me and the self-realized soul is, we are dependent on our likes and dislikes. We are not dependent on the likes and dislikes. So, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, then also it's fine. So that's the dependence. So Nandaka, one who is free from all worldly pleasures. Meaning the mind is not preoccupied by the worldly pleasures. It's not that they don't contact the worldly pleasures. Oh, this must be Mahatma. Mahatma means should not be eating. You should not be going in nice carts. You should not be wearing certain clothes. Because these are considered luxury. The question is not whether he is wearing luxury or using luxury. The question is whether luxury is occupying his mind, preoccupying the mind. There are fellows who live, or at least show that they are living in poverty. The mind is fully attached to luxury. Look at that fellow. He's using such a cart. But he's thinking, he's projecting that he's a spiritual person. That's going on talking like this. See, you, in fact, in your mind, you are having the luxury. That fellow maybe is going in luxury car, but absolutely no problem. It's a mode of transport. His clothes are meant for certain purpose. That's all. So why give unnecessary extra value for it? So therefore, they are all the time happy, completely free. Their mind is free from all this nonsense. Satya Dharma. One who has in himself all the true dharmas. Satya Dharma. Within oneself, a person has all the dharmas. One who knows knowledge and other attributes are true. Who is fixed in dharma and truth all the time. That's what Satya Dharma means. If it's not going to take him to the ultimate goal, he's not interested in it. He lives such a life. Trivikramaha. One whose three strides covered the whole world. Talking about the Vamana Avatara, which Mahavishnu took three steps and covered the entire earth, heaven. Third step, he didn't know where to keep it. He kept it on Mahabali step. That story we all know. So, Vamana Avatara covered the three steps. That is what this is referring to. Which means, who's beyond the three worlds? What are the three worlds? In Sanskrit, the term loka means experience. Loka also means world. So, loka means experience and world. When you say he with one step he covered the earth, with another step he covered the heavens, and third step he went beyond. What it means is beyond all the fields of experience. So Brahman Atman is not an object of comprehension. It is the subject that helps you to comprehend it. It cannot be comprehended by you. It is beyond all comprehension. That's what it means. So, Tridikramaha means something which is beyond the three worlds, waking, dream and deep sleep worlds. Tridikramaha. Next shloka. Maharshi Kapila Charya Kritagyo Medhi Nipatihi Tripadas Tridashat Yakshaha Mahasundat Kritamtakrit Maharshi Kapila Charya Kritagyo Medhi Nipatihi Tripadas Tridashat Yakshaha Mahasundat Kritamtakrit Maharshi Kapila Acharya. Kapila is a teacher. Acharya means teacher. Kapila, the great sage or rishi. One who mastered a portion of the Vedas. And rishi means one who has mastered the portion of Vedas. Maharshi means one who has mastered the entire Veda. So Kapila Muni is one who has mastered the entire Veda. So the preceptor Kapila, he compares to Mahavishnu. He says Kapila himself is Mahavishnu. He is a great master of the entire Vedic literature. He is the proponent of Sankhya philosophy. If you remember, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's called as Sankhya Yoga. So Sankhya philosophy was given by the great Kapilacharya. So he says, in the Bhagavad Gita also, the 10th chapter, he says, of the rishis I am sage Kapila. Of the munis I am sage Kapila. So Kapila Muni, who gave the Sankhya philosophy, that jnanam. So he says, that is Mahavishnu, Guru. Because what removes darkness is light. What removes ignorance is jnanam. And one who gives jnanam is Guru. So the Guru is an avatara of Bhagavan only. So Guru is considered as Bhagavan. That's why in our culture we say, always, you know, Mata, Pita, Guru, Deva. And always Guru is worshipped as Bhagavan. The Lord or the truth is something that you cannot see. Why do you say Mata, Pita, Guru are all like God? Anybody? Maybe emotionally they say, but why is it? Anybody? Nobody saying anything. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you, Guruji.
Yeah, so why is it? See, Devam or Lord means something that you cannot see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But where you can find that? You cannot find that where there is ego. Only in the places where the ego is not there, you can find it. So the relationship between mother and son or daughter is a purely sacrificial relationship. Same thing with father, same thing with guru. So these are the areas you can actually see God manifested. glimpses. For that, you need to be firstly subtle. Then only, you know what? He just says emotionally. But actually, the fact is, not just Mata, Pita, Guru, everywhere else also, wherever there is sacrifice, there is God, there is divinity. A person who goes beyond himself to work for the society, people get inspired. He also gets tremendous energy from there. Why he suddenly becomes so energetic? From where that energy is coming? It is coming from the inner reservoir. He's got the key to open it. So, the key to open the inner reservoir is unselfishness or selflessness, which comes from the knowledge. A fellow who is not having this knowledge, he goes on working selfishly, he will be not that same energy he will not have. So therefore, knowledge given by the Guru is considered as God Himself, Maharshi Kapila Acharya, Kritajnya. Kritajnya, Krita means the world because it is of the nature of an effect. Kritajnya. World is an effect of the divinity, the created. World is something that is effect, something that has come out of the truth. So the created and the knower of the creation. Krita means the universe that has been created. So, Nyaha means the knower of all the objects. Krita, Nyaha. I already told you. Krita, Prajnyaha. Nyaha means one who knows, knower. Prajnyaha means one who knows well. Krita, Prajnyaha means one who knows well always. Ever. Ever in wisdom. So, Nyaha means the knower. Kritajnyaha means the universe that has been created. One who knows the universe. Who knows the universe? Now, if you are seeing this phone, you are the seer seeing the phone. Phone becomes the known. Similarly, the world, meaning experiences, are the objects. Then who is the subject? The Atma. So therefore, he says, Kritajnaha. The absolute reality, Lord Narayana, is the seer experiencing the world. Medini Patihi. Medini Patihi. Pati means Lord, husband. Lord. Medini Pati means the Lord of us. Sri Narayana. Earth means inert matter. But this earth, which is inert matter, is capable of producing food. It has life. It can sustain life because of what? Because of Vishnu, who's come through Aditya. You remember we studied this. Aditya, the sun, the life source energy, the pure consciousness. It says, through the sun and the moon, I reached the earth and cooked the seeds, produce the food. That food digested by us, giving us the vitality and energy. So the insentient matter is enlivened by the pure consciousness. So he says, therefore, medini patihi. Tripadaha. Tripadaha means one who has taken three steps. Pada means feet. So tripada means one who has taken three steps. Again, the same Vamana Avatara, one who took three steps beyond the earth, heavens, the Lord lives. Tridashad Yakshaha. The Lord of the three steps of the waking, giving these feet. One is the witness of the three steps. Dakshaha. Apyakshaha. So, very interesting. Tridashad Yakshaha. So, the Aksha means eyes. Aksha means eyes. So, that which sees all the three worlds, the pure consciousness. Therefore, Tri Dashad Yakshaha means the pure consciousness. It is beyond the three gunas, the sattva, rajas and tamas. Pure consciousness, which is a witness, who doesn't get involved and get affected. Mahashringaha. Mahashringaha means the great horn. In the fish incarnation, he carried the ship to his great horn and spotted in the waters of the deluge. Hence, it's called as Mahashringaha. All these are referring to different avatars. Vamana avatara, Matsya, Purna, Varaha. All these avatars are mentioned here and there. Then, Kritantakrit means the destroyer of the creation. He is the creator in our subjective life. And he is the destroyer of the creation. Kritantakrit, one who brings about the destruction of the Krita, or the manifested condition of the universe. From him the world arises, in him the world is sustained, into him the world dissolves. So Kritantakrit, one who brings about the destruction of the Krita, the created world. When you see the truth, the world comes to an end. You remember I have mentioned this before. In Tamil, we have the scripture called Thirumandiram. It has more than 3,000 verses. But Gita only 700 verses. This Thirumandiram has more than 3,000. In that, in one shloka, he says, Marattai maraitadu maamadayanai, Marattil maraindadu maamadayanai. Parattai maraitadu parmudal bhudam, Parattil maraindadu parmudal bhudam. Mara means wood. An elephant made of wood. He takes it as an example and says, the wood maram, Marattai maraitadu, the wood was covered by the form of an elephant. Marattai maraitadu maamada yana. Yana means elephant. Marattil maraindadu maamadaya. In wood, the form of the elephant disappeared. Similarly, parattai maraitadu parmudal bhuda. Para means the supreme self. Parmudal bhuda means this Panchabhudas. The supreme self of the pure self, the reality, is covered as it were by these five elements. But parattil, the moment you see the supreme self, the pure consciousness, the Panchabhudas disappear. Kritantakrit, this universe, these waves are all there because you are not seeing them as water. The moment you see water, waves, these are all gone. Therefore, when you realize the self, this entire universe holds back.
Mahavaraho Govindaha Sushena Kanakangadi Dukyo Gaviro Gahano Duktas Chakra Gadhadaraha Mahavaraho Govindaha महावराह ग्रेट कॉस्मिक बोर्ड अगेन रेफरिंग टू अवतार लॉर्ड मैनिफेस्टेड एज अ बोर्ड स्टोरी सेज दैट इट वाज दिस डेल्यूज and all the, you know, world was submerged. He came and got it out. He saved the Vedas. So, Mahabharata and Govinda. Go means earth. Go means Vedas. Go means sense. Govinda, one who is to be known through the declarations of Vedanta. So, Govindaha means one who is to be known through the declaration of the Vedanta. One who gave the Vedas. He is a lord of Vedas. Who is the subject matter in this? What it means. That's how it should be derived. So, Govindaha. One who is to be known with the. With means to know. One is to be known through the declarations of the Upanishads. You cannot know him through any other means. You can only know him through the knowledge. Sushenaha. One who has a charming army. The army of Mahavishnu is called as Ganas. So Sushenaha means the army of Mahavishnu. With that army, he destroys all the negativities. Kanakangadi, bright as gold armlets. Kanakangadi, bright armlets, gold armlets. What it means is, shining, you know. The self shines. In that sense, he says, one who has angadas, armlets made of gold. All these gold, silver, all these things that pertain to this material world are his creation. So when you see a form, you go to Tirupati, Balaji or any mandir, they decorate the Lord with all the jewels. Now, it is not that the Lord becomes more beautiful by wearing the jewels. The jewels value increase because it was adoring the Lord. That's how you should understand this. Why so? Same logic. You may say gold and all that, but end of the day, it's nothing but the stone. Diamonds is nothing but the stone. It doesn't have sentience. The matter which doesn't have sentience becomes valuable when the sentient principle is being decorated with it. So therefore it is Kanakangatihi, one who has Angada's armlets made of gold. Then Gukhya, secret. One who is to be known by the Gukhya or the esoteric knowledge conveyed in the Upanishad. Upanishads are called as Gukhya. Gukhya Tama, Uttamam, Uttamam Gukhya, royal knowledge, royal secret, we keep saying. Greatest secret in the deep words of the Upanishads is truth is hidden. That's why it's called Gukhya. Hardly anybody knows. Even if they know, They know externally. They really don't know the truth. Gabiraha. One who is profound. One who is of profound majesty because of attributes like omniscience, lordliness, strength, prowess, etc. Gabiraha. Profound majesty. See, you keep addressing people, your majesty, this and that. So, he is giving these attributes here, you see, omniscience, lordliness. If you get lauded over by people, you show that you are weak, you cannot be called as Gabira. So Gabiraha means one who is always the lord of this material stuff. Never comes under the sway of it. Gahanaha. One who could be entered into only with great difficulty. One who is the witness of the three states of waking, dream and sleep, also their absence. Gahanaha can be entered only with great difficulty. What it means is, the power of this Maya is such that this manifested world through your senses delude you. Hardly anybody wants to really know the truth. So, then he says, Gahanaha, with great difficulty you need to enter. What is the difficulty? The way to enter the Lord. Bhakti is Gyan. Remember this. So Bhakti, I don't mean by Bhakti like shouting all the bhajans. Bhakti and Gyan are one and the same. Because when you gain the knowledge, it dissolves the ego. And that dissolution of ego is Bhakti. So when you gain the knowledge and understand the Brahman, in front of the Brahman, this small little ego is nothing. Then in that understanding, you dissolve your ego. That's the way you enter. What it means. The Gahanaha. Then Guptaha. One who is not an object of world's thoughts, etc. It is a subject. It is not the object. This is what Gupta means. Chakra Gada Varaha. One who has discussed on Gada in hand. We have already studied this. Gada means knocks and shocks of life. Chakra means ultimate annihilation. Life gives you knocks and shocks to force correct yourself to get back to Dharma. But when you don't and you continue being in your adharmic ways, then chakra. And all that is also for your evolution. Ultimately, Vishnu is being kind to us. Help us get back to them. So, chakra gada dharaha. One who has discussed gada in him. We'll conclude with this 546.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhyaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Ayena Vacha Manasindriyaibha Vidya Pranava Prakriti Swabhavat Robi Adhya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samasthitaah.